Good morning. Welcome, Anita Lope. Welcome. What's your name?
Beatrice Enns.
Beatrice Enns. And your name?
Sylvia Maria Enns.
Sylvia Maria Enns. And you?
Ellen Germini.
And you?
Ingeborg Puchert.
And Herb Byerly. And Rex Byerly. And Little Love?
Germini.
Okay. Now, we just sent a contingent of beings out of here yesterday. And so we get Anita in here to take the place of these 100 people who left yesterday. So she's got a big job on her hand of just being herself and having fun. But here we are, welcoming in a new day at the mountain here, at the monastery. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, and Dean of the Absolute Monastery, and just having a time of my life, enjoying being me. And as I look around the table here, this is the breakfast table, the pine trees are just gently moving in the morning breeze that's just sufficient to make everything so beautiful. The temperature is ideal. These lovely flowering bushes, what are these things here?
Oleander
bushes are giving us all of their pink and white blossoms, and we look off the valley there. There's the path that leads to the waterfall, and there's the path that leads to the outdoor basketball court and the parking area for the motor and mobile homes, and up to the swimming pool on the other direction where everything is just beautiful. We had a guest here who brought his three children and his wife, and they had a great time. But all the children were in the water. All the children were enjoying themselves, having a time of their life. And when they came out, their father finally broke down. And he took his wallet out of his pants and his watch off and so forth and dove in and swam back and forth like a dolphin, you know, just having the time of his life and thinking that this is just too great to pass. And his daughter came up to her mother and she said,
"What will Daddy put on when he comes out of the water?"
What does Daddy put on when he comes out of the water? His clothes are all wet. And his mother said,
Don't worry, sweetheart.
Don't worry, sweetheart. That all works itself out. We never worry about those unimportant details. So I offered him an extra pair of trousers that I had, swim pants, and he said, "Oh, thank you." And he took them. He says, "I got another pair in the back of the car." But he took my pants, and he put them on, and he wore them, instead of going to get in his own pants. And I thought, what an honor, you know, what an honor that he would choose that over his own. But you see, we all have chances, opportunities. We all have the circumstances to do something really nice that we don't know we're doing something really nice, you know. Now, I don't think he thought, well, now, if I take Herb's trouser, he'll think that that's very nice and that I'm a very nice guy for doing it. He just took my trouser because he thought that was a nice gesture of me, and he was not going to short-circuit the gesture just because he had pants in the back of the car. So he continued the gesture of mine, giving him the trousers to wear. And by the way, he wore them home, too. And it's wonderful. It's just wonderful. But you see, this is how life goes on. When we act intuitively, when we act, so to speak, unconsciously, but we're not acting intuitively, we're not acting unconsciously, we have built into our nature the appreciation of life from all directions. We have built into our nature the appreciation of someone being nice to us. Now, what is the most difficult thing in the world? The most difficult thing in the world is to show appreciation for what people do for you. How do you say thank you without sounding like you're saying thank you? Mm-hmm. You know? How do you say, "Man, that was great. I really appreciate that. That was just super. You're just wonderful." You know? Well, the way to do that is just to say thank you. Mm-hmm. If someone offers you a pair of trousers to wear, you say, thank you, and you wear them. They might be too tight or too loose, but you wear them because the gift is given there, the opportunity is given. When someone comes and brings you candy, you don't say, oh, I can't eat that, that's all that sugar and that's not good for me. And that, you know, you don't say that. You say, thank you very much. Now, Anita came from Switzerland, you know, a crazy woman, and she brought all these Swiss chocolates for us again, as she always does every time she comes. She just pours out her heart in that beautiful way. And so she gave me a ladybug. Now, a ladybug is a ladybug. It's a piece of chocolate that's covered with the ladybug body, so to speak, you know, the tissue paper, what do you call it?
The foil.
Yeah, with the foil that's over the body. And so, it's mine. It's mine. I can do what I want with it. Now, ladybug means what?
Sugar.
Luck.
Oh, luck.
No, it doesn't mean sugar. It means luck. And so she, good fortune, happiness. So she didn't give it to me because it meant sugar. She knows that I do not care to have too much sugar. And so she gives me things that are sugarless. In fact, she bought two candy bars for me that are chocolate and delicious and sugarless. I don't know how they make it that way, but if they say that, then they say that. So I had the privilege of seeing Ingeborg sitting here eating her ladybug and enjoying it with such enthusiasm, I could hardly reach over and give her my ladybug fast enough, because I knew she would not just look at it, but she would take that luck right into her tummy and enjoy it with all her heart and soul. And you see, this is what giving is. Giving is not that I can't give it away because Anita gave it to me. Anything anybody gives to me, I can give away if I wish, and I do. People give me lots of things. I say, thank you. You want that dress? Sure, thank you. What do you want with a dress? Well, you gave it to me, didn't you? Then don't question it, you know? And I bring it home, and I say, now, let's see, which one of my princesses, which one of my angels here on campus, which one of my monks would it fit? And let's see, yeah, it fit her. It fit her, you know? And so I give it to her, and then she looks at it, and she says, Thank you. That's not my style, but she takes it too. And so then she passes it on too. So somebody else gets a gift from my gift. Keeps spreading and spreading and spreading. Like, my wife was going out to a certain Baker Square for lunch every day. And she was eating a modest lunch and having a nice one. And I thought, well, let's give her a gift certificate. I don't know how much we spent for it, $50, $100, $500, whatever it was, but of gift certificates. Well, my goodness, all of a sudden she is a wealthy lady, you know? And so she invites all of her friends to eat, and pretty soon the gift certificates are all gone. And she said, Herb, that was very nice of you to give me that gift certificate. If you ever feel like doing it again, I'm ready, you know? And I said, well, I'd like to give it to you, but I'm not giving it to you so you can host all your friends. And then I thought to myself, Herb, how stupid can you be? People give you gifts and you pass it on, and you don't think a thing about it. Why should anyone else not be able to pass on the gift that you give to them and maybe even make some points with it, you know? Yeah. She made points with her friends, and her friends all thought that she was a very loving, giving lady, which she is, you know? And so she did that. And I allowed her to do that. And it took a bit of me because I was thinking for her alone. But what made her happiest was not eating at Baker Square, but sharing at Baker Square with people that she knew and she loved, you know. Now, you see, we sometimes lose our judgment. We lose our direction because we try to put it in an understanding that we have. And we don't have an understanding. We have a number of little quips here that we read at the breakfast table. And my nephew in Delaware, Tim McMahon, sent it to me. And he sent it to me 3 years ago, too. And I remember, same one. And he just goes through his files. But that's good. And it was nice. It was very refreshing. And it's like the little girl in there. She says, true love. Love is when a girl says to a boy, I like your shirt, and he wears it always, forever and ever and ever. He wears the same shirt, you know, because it touched him. That's love. And there are many other little statements there, but it's all on giving. And it's on giving and saying, you know, you look good in that shirt. Oh, you are so handsome in that shirt. Not overdoing it. I think they were 4 or 5 years old. But they did it enough that it really meant something very important. No. The act and art of giving, the act and art of sharing, the act and art of being yourself and having fun is something that you don't learn. It comes right out of the depth of your heart. And what you do learn is to let it out. You see, we've all got it, but we've been trained that you might be able to misunderstand. Should. So you give somebody a gift, and they say, oh, you want us to go steady? No, I'm just giving you this gift. Well, why are you giving me a gift? Because I like to give gifts, but why to me? You know, I'd like to go out with you. I'd like to be your beau. I'd like to be your friend. Look, if you don't want it, just say so, and I'll find somebody else who might appreciate it without having a bunch of rat tails tied to it, you know. And so, well, okay, I'll take it, you know. Well, you know, it's hard for people to, there's got to be some reason why things are done. And that's too bad. And if you have been raised like that, and we have, then when they pull that on you, you feel, oh, what's my reason, you know. Yeah, I have to have a reason. But then, as you grow up, spiritually and emotionally and mentally and physically, as you grow up, you come to the point of saying, huh, I don't have to explain to anybody what I do. I don't have to explain it. I went into Beatrice Enns's room last night because Ellen said her plants need to be taken care of and so forth. So we went in there and we looked at the room and I thought, my goodness, this is a nice room, but it's not very friendly. So I hung her clock on her wall for her, and I put her other clock up so that it was all so she could see it from her bed. And I fixed this up, and I took her bedspread off and rearranged it on the bed so that it would look like it was, you know, like a hotel type bed, you know, really, really nice. And then I went to her computer. Oh, my God, her computer. It had sort of a sick blue on it, you know. And then it was just a mess. And so I went inside the computer, and I went to the sound, and I brought up music for her, because it was all right there. And I've got to show her how to find it. And I went into different other areas, and then I thought, that color, you know, makes me want to barf. And so I went into her display, and I found the colors, and I gave her a beautiful color for me. Now, I'll show her where the colors are, because she may find another color even more beautiful to her. So that's her computer. But then I went around, stuck my finger in all of her plants, and I thought, my God, she's been here a month and never watered the plants. Oh, my goodness sakes. You know, what kind of a mother is she? What kind of a home does she have at home? Doesn't she ever water her plants at home? You know? And then I went into the bathroom, and the tips of the towels were not touching each other perfectly as we did in the School of the Master. And I thought, my goodness, it certainly shows that she wasn't at the School of the Master. And so then I went to her sink, and there were 2 drops of water in it. 2 drops! They had come out of the faucet after she had, you know, wiped out the sink. And I had to wipe that up and put those things away. And, you know, and a whole lot of other stuff. I looked in her closet, you know, and it was pretty orderly. But the thing is, then she had a table that she worked at and did her lessons at and did things at. And it was a big candle in the middle of it, which kept her from even using the table. And then she had 4 chairs around the table, and she's really not entertaining anybody in there. She's got 4 chairs there that busy up her table and don't let her use it and enjoy it. Now, if she had 1 nice chair there and could enjoy it, it'd make it so much nicer. And so, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. By the time I left the room, it looked like me. I mean, it looked very nice. It looked very charming. And then I looked at the pictures of Martha Ertley and Heinz Ertley's mountain house. And as I looked at the pictures, I thought, gee, this is warm and lovely. This is a charming house. There's little knickknacks of them around there, you know. There's little things that show that they're living there and that that's their home. And how wonderful it is. Now, I sometimes go in where angels fear to tread, and I walk rather heavily sometimes and trample on people's hearts and emotions, but I do it because I love them, and I do it because if I don't do it that way, I won't do it, because I'll chicken out, you know. I'll think I don't want to offend them, I don't want to make them feel unhappy. But I just go in there, and I do it, and make everything wonderful. Now, this is your world. Bring in your own flowers. Bring in your own bouquet. If there are too many plants in your room that you're not interested in watering, we'll take them out here on the deck and let it emblazon the deck out here, you know, make it nice, you know. But these are little things that it's your room. You should make it yours. And if you see a nice Davenport in Ellen's house that you would make it nice in your room, take it up there, you know. And if you see a nice TV set someplace, put it in there, you know. You know, whatever turns you on, make it a little class, a little bit of imagination, you know. And I straightened out all the wires on your computer, too. You had a mess. You had two mice. One mouse didn't work, and you still had it connected with a wire hanging all over the place there. See, you didn't even know. But my goodness sakes, I'm going to have to come in and bring an orientation program for you. But it's fun. It's fun. And, of course, Anita can do that, too, because she's using the same computer you're using and show you where all the goodies are and how to play with it, you know. And, you know, that's fun. So just feel free to go to her. Don't go to Sylvia. I don't want you to have anything to do with Sylvia. I want you to stay away from her because Sylvia is on a different level of awareness, and it's not your level. And I don't mean that discourteously. But Sylvia is on a different level of thinking and acting and doing, and that's not where you want to be, or that's not where you are. You are on another level, a level of, I like me, I'm happy, I'm enjoying myself, and I don't have one pissy-ass thing to say about anybody. I don't have one put-down thing to say. What's our little blue thing say?
Don't complain.
I have no complaint about anybody. And you see, if we have complaints, then we're not here in paradise. Because paradise is complaintless. Paradise is compliment full. Everything is a loving compliment. Like I said to you, you weren't at the school of the master, so you didn't learn all those things, and I can't expect you to know all those things, but I can teach you, and you learn fast, you know? And this is a school, and here in this school, everybody behaves, including Ingeborg. Yes. Everybody has a happy word to say about somebody else, right? Everybody has a happy word to say about themselves. Ingeborg, are you the most glorious, beautiful, fantastic woman on earth?
Yes, I am.
Sylvia, are you the most glorious, beautiful, fantastic woman on earth?
Yes.
I am.
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Thank you. Ich bin. Yeah. Always get that in there. Yeah. I am. And Anita?
Yes, I am.
The most beautiful woman in the world.
Yeah. Brother Bear, remember?
Yes.
The two mooses are on top of the mammoth, and they're saying, is that a tree? You know, what do you see? You know, I see something straight up and tall, a tree. And then I see something with branches on it, a tree. And then pretty soon they don't ask what, they say, a tree. And did you see Brother Bear? No. You didn't see Brother Bear?
No, not yet.
Oh, my God. Why are we wasting this other nonsense on her? We should be showing her Brother Bear. And
lovely.
Brother Bear 1 and 2. They're beautiful. They're just beautiful. And they're sensitive, too. So, this is where you are. This is where you are, and this is where I am. And we only say loving things about one another. We only compliment one another. But we start with ourselves. You compliment yourself. Ellen, are you grand and glorious?
Yes, I am.
Ellen, did your grandchildren think that of all the nannies that ever they ever knew in the universe, that you were the number one granny?
Yes, they do.
Why?
Because they are fantastic and they see in me what they are.
Well, that's good too. They see you as the number one nanny because that's the way you see yourself.
Okay.
Because they're only your reflection. I mean, those two people weren't here. That was just your reflection.
Reflection. Yeah. Yes.
See, the 16-year-old boy and the 19-year-old girl, they weren't here. They were your reflection.
That's true.
And were they beautiful?
Yes.
Did they do everything right?
Everything right.
Boy, you hesitated there a moment. You have to be able to say yes instantly, you know.
Yes.
Because if you don't, you're thinking.
Right.
And if you think, you can think of some little thing that they might not have done that you liked, you know. Yeah. Now, what did your granddaughter do? Among everything else, she loved to bake cakes and pies.
Yeah.
And it made her very happy. And what's another thing your granddaughter did? And I'm giving you the answers. Another thing your granddaughter did, she thought that Herb Byerly was the greatest guy in the universe.
Yes.
Yes?
She does think that.
Yes? Yeah. Now, why?
Because you are her reflection. Or you are thinking of yourself.
I have her as my reflection.
Uh-huh.
And as my reflection, what can she do?
Be only think. Fantastic.
See or me only fantastic. Right, right, right. Oh. And this is true.
Yes.
So, Ingeborg, how do you see everybody in the world?
Great.
Fantastic is a good word too,
fantastic.
and expialidocious, and awesome,
awesome.
And nice.
Nice.
Yeah, these are the words that they're learning. They're speaking mostly Italian, and so they're coming here to learn English, and along the process they're learning German too.
Yeah.
And they're just having a great old time. This is the happy... Yeah, thank you. This is the happy Tigger that Anita brought for me because she knew that my son was called a Tigger by his girlfriend. And she wanted me to have this memory of my son always in my heart. Thank you. And all you do is touch him on the head and he talks to you. Tony the Tigger. Oops. Yeah. He's just fantastic. Well, now you see... Does he need anything?
No.
Yes. He needs a kiss.
Ah, yeah.
Or a pat on the back. Hey.
And then he responds.
You got to do it hard enough. Yeah, touch his head hard enough and he'll get it. And Rex thinks he's just wonderful.
I love it too.
Yeah. But you see, that's Tony Tigger, Tony the Tigger, not Tiger, Tigger. From whom?
Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh. Remember Winnie the Pooh?
Yes.
Well, you see, we are really children at heart, all of us. And we live with a childish consciousness, and we return to our original purity and integrity in awareness, because it's always been there. We merely uncover it. Well, have a lovely day, and know that I love you in every single possible way. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.